through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled through the cross. And because we have peace, we saw there in verse 2 that we also therefore have access to the throne of Almighty God, the Holy of Holies in heaven. Like I mentioned last week, we're now going to see a transition from primarily doctrinal to primarily practical. And tonight is kind of part of that bridge here in chapter 5, where we see it's about tribulations. So up to now, it's been about man being a sinner, about all these wonderful things that have happened to us in our salvation, our justification, our imputation, and so forth. But now it's becoming more down to earth and practical, because it's about the tribulations that we face in the Christian life. Notice beginning in verse 2, where we finished last week of chapter 5. I'll get there. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So tonight, glory in tribulations. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of meeting. And we pray now the Holy Spirit would use your precious word in each of our hearts to speak to us personally. We pray that this time would bring you glory, that you would guide us in your truth. We love you. We commit the service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we saw there in verse 2 last week, because we've been given this access to the Holy of Holies, we rejoice. And we talked on a Sunday morning recently about this joy unspeakable. That joy is rooted, as we see here, in our hope. The hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that one day we will see Jesus, and that devil can't change that. Tribulations, sin can't change that. We will see Jesus. Therefore, we can rejoice, as we saw in 1 Peter 1, with joy unspeakable. Paul says in Romans 8, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, Romans 8, 18, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When we get to heaven, we're not going to look back and say, oh, those trials were so terrible. We're instead going to say, thank you, Lord. That was your plan. Thank you for working in my life. Thank you for allowing that. There will be no regrets when we are with Jesus. But we not only glory in this hope that we have in Jesus Christ, but God says in verse 3 that we should also glory in our tribulations. And this is where it gets real, isn't it? It's one thing to glory in our hope. It's one thing to glory in the peace and the access that we have in Jesus Christ and our justification and the imputation and so forth. It's another thing to glory in tribulations. This is where it gets real. Because in life, here on earth, we're going to have a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations, a lot of troubles. God says we are to glory in those things. In other words, we're to recognize that God is in control and that God has a purpose in it. And therefore, we can glory. If you go to 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul, we know this passage well. He learned this lesson through a tribulation of his own called a thorn in the flesh. He asked God to take it away, but he was learning as a follower, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, about tribulations and how we should respond to them. Notice verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This is God speaking. Then Paul starts speaking and says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. So there it is again. I'm going to glory in them rather than complain about them. Rather than ask God to take them away, I'm going to glory in them. The infirmities are going to happen either way. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're going to have those infirmities. But how we respond to them is up to us. We can moan, we can complain, we can get angry with God. Of course, when we do that, we're just asking for more tribulations because God's using them to try to refine us and make us more like Jesus. And the more we resist that process, well, the more the process has to continue. So Paul learned this by experience, and he stopped and he said, "Lord, I'm not going to ask anymore for you to take the thorn away. Now I'm going to glory in my infirmities." Look what he says at the end of verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm going to learn that when the infirmities come, rather than complain, I'll say, "Praise God." And God's going to help me through it, which is going to teach me to rely on Him more and His strength. And then Paul gives this interesting progression here in Romans 5, showing again the power of infirmities from God to change us, that they are part of the refining process. Because he says there, knowing, verse 3, that tribulation, one of the things it works is patience. Well, patience is something we all struggle with, some more than others. Having more patience, having more long-suffering. God says that tribulation is one of the best ways for God to develop patience in our lives. Wouldn't it be better if he could just touch us and say, "That's it, you have more patience"? No, he says patience is something that has to be learned. And we learn it through tribulations. And so the next time a tribulation comes, we can stop and say, "Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Which of these things are you teaching me through this tribulation? Do I need more patience?" While we're talking about patience, go to James 1 and verse 2. We need to learn to ask the right questions rather than, "Lord, woe is me, please take this away." We need to be learned to say, "Lord, what is your purpose? What are you trying to teach me? I want to learn it." James 1, 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh," what? "Patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire." Remember, God is perfecting us. It means he's making us more and more like Jesus. And tribulations is part of that process. So tribulation can work patience. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:17 and we'll see it again. 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our light affliction," this is God's perspective on our afflictions, he calls them light. Well, they don't feel light sometimes, do they? Sometimes they feel quite heavy. When we get to heaven, we're going to look back and we're not going to see them as heavy. "But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." In other words, they work. They have a purpose. And one of the purposes of tribulation is to make us more patient. But he doesn't stop there. Verse 4 of Romans 5, then he says, "And patience, experience." What does that mean? Well, God teaches that he's not only perfecting us, but he's also preparing us to help others. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and we'll see this. So maybe God isn't developing patience through this tribulation. Maybe he's just making you better equipped to help someone else who's going to go through a similar tribulation. You can help them through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our," what? "Tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Experience. We can say to our brother or sister, "I've been there. I understand what you're going through because I've been through it," or maybe I'm going through it. The same tribulation. So maybe he's not developing patience. Maybe he's developing us to be a more effective brother or sister in Christ, to be a blessing to someone else. He is perfecting us. Go to 1 Peter 5:10 and we'll see this. That word perfecting means, like we saw earlier, refining us, making us, chipping off the stuff from the past little by little and making us more like Jesus. 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all glory, grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Make you perfect after that you've suffered a while. So God's developing patience. He's developing experience. This is all through tribulation. But he doesn't stop there. Go back to Romans 5. So he says, tribulation work of patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Now remember, our joy, our peace are grounded in our hope. The hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What God is saying is that as we go through the fire, our hope grows. And you'll notice that the Christians who have that great hope are the ones that have been through the hottest fires. That's how God works. David, when his child died, he had hope that he would one day see his child again. But where'd that hope come from? It came from his experience of all the trials he'd been through up to that point. If you go to 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul went through the same thing. 2 Corinthians 4:17. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's there at the end of his ministry. This is the last chapter that Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, before he was martyred in Rome. And at the very end, he says, God stood with me and strengthened me. So he didn't say God kept all the trials out of the way. He didn't put a bubble around me. He didn't give me a force field because I was the super apostle. No, I went through major trials, and he did. Remember, God even told him in the beginning all the things you're going to suffer for my sake. And he did, and he suffered. But he says, God stood with me. His hope was strengthened. And look in verse 8, he's saying, and he's delivered me and he's going to preserve me to what? His heavenly kingdom. I know that I'm about to go and spend forever with him. His hope was stronger because of the tribulations that he had experienced. Because tribulations drive us to our knees, they drive us to get closer to the Lord, and our hope grows. So tribulation work of patience, God developing us, making us more like Christ. Patience, experience, making us better equipped to be a blessing to others who go through trials. And experience, hope. The more trials we go through, the greater our hope is real and grows in our life. And then he says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Hope from patient experience in tribulations builds boldness. And the Christians who are bold for the Lord are the Christians who have been through the fire for the Lord. And again, Paul is our example. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And if anybody had gone through the fire, it was Paul. Stoned and beaten and chased and shipwrecked and jailed. And here in 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Paul says, my boldness has grown because of the things I've suffered. And then over in chapter 2, verse 15, Most of us know this verse by heart. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Where do we learn more about our hope in Christ? We learn it from God's word. God says the more we study, the less we'll be ashamed. So hope maketh not ashamed. So he's saying we should glory in tribulations, knowing that they're part of God's process of developing us and making us more like Jesus. That tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh. Notice it works. It makes a difference in our lives. And it also builds experience, makes us better equipped to help others. It builds our hope in Jesus Christ, our hope that we're going to see Him and spend forever with Him in heaven. And as that grows and as we go through more trials, we're less and less ashamed to stand for Jesus Christ and His gospel. Verse 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Who is it that comforts us in the midst of tribulations? It's the Holy Ghost. And as He does that, God's love becomes more and more real as we go through those fires. And the Holy Ghost is there comforting us and strengthening us and refining us. God's love becomes that much more real. And like it says, it's shed abroad in our hearts. He's the comforter. He's the one that go to John 14:26. He's the one that's there and has been there since the day we were saved. And as the comforter, He's the one who's there to help us through these tribulations. So that's one of His primary ministries, is to comfort us when we go through hard times. And the more He comforts us, the more the love of God becomes real to us. Notice John 14:26. Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Ghost is going to come. He's going to indwell you. He's going to comfort you. And He's going to give you My peace, Jesus says. Therefore, you don't need to be troubled or afraid. And when the trials come, and they will, God's developing us. We need to glory in them, knowing that God is working in our lives in an infinite number of ways, because He knows what's best. He knows what it takes to make us more like Christ. As we're told in Romans 8:29, we're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And in the end, our hope grows, our boldness grows, and God's love becomes that much more real because God helped us and carried us through that trial. And that's why Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. In 2 Corinthians 12:10. So we need to learn to glory in those tribulations. That is how we grow. Let's pray. Thank you.